Oh, great. Welcome to a new episode of the JetX Guys. And Len's just coming straight in hacking. It's been a week since we last did an episode. So hopefully we didn't lose the two followers we had.
Yeah, now we're down to one and a half.
A few listeners, whatever that might be.
We're down to one and a half now. We lost 25%.
One and a half. Who's the half? Makes no sense. So you're saying, how does that even make sense?
Children.
So
yeah, I could get myself in really big trouble. I'm going to shut up. I don't mean that. Right. There's too many ways I can justify a half person, and there I don't think I should.
Okay.
Let's just stop now. I need this. So anyway, how are you? It's been a while.
Okay. It's been a while. It has been a while. Len's been traveling.
Yeah.
He's been a busy guy. He's traveled all over Eastern Asia, right? Eastern Asia? Yeah. I guess East Asia.
No, it's more northern. I don't know. Because if you say East Asia, people are usually thinking of like Malaysia, Thailand, that area, Southeast Asia. Uh-huh. I don't know, because the Southeast Asia is down there. And I was more in...
Southeast,
I was,
this would be down. Would be
right,
south.
Right. Great. South is usually down.
Yeah.
Which is just weird. We always say East, but you know, since we live in California, you know, West Coast, we always travel West. So... I think we had this argument before. I'm not sure if it was you and I, but I've had this argument with somebody before.
Wait, so it's called East.
People always say Asia, but
we're on the West Coast, and we're continuing to go West because it's the shortest route.
Right, we go West. So are they?
Yes, they determine based on the
European, the daily. Oh, we control everything. Whole world revolves around us, fuckers. Football is American football, not soccer. Like that, right?
Football here.
We get to dictate. Yeah.
Yeah. Is American dictated. Football.
No. We took over what football means. Fuck them.
Yeah.
I don't care if more people play it and watch it.
I still can't. And I've looked this up before. I can't actually remember why the fuck we called football football.
There is a reason. Yeah. There is a legitimate reason.
No, there is. But I cannot remember for the life of me what it was for because it's clearly not football.
It makes no fucking sense why we call it football.
I mean, run ball, right? That's kind of what it was. That's running.
Move ball. Yeah, I don't know. Ball.
There you go. That's stupid
too. I know. It's all stupid.
Pretty soon, the NFL will be flag football, so it won't matter.
Did you see, like, the whole thing? Like, I mean, I don't want to talk about it, but some things like news about around the NFL, but, like, some of the competitive committee and the rule changes that they want to do, like moving the drop. I know that a few – the one thing that bothers me about some of these rules for safety. And I totally get, like, especially the head stuff. I mean, what it is. But there are some things like this, like, you know, the drop tackle, drop hip tackle.
Right. Where they grab the hip, they drop down using their body weight to pull them and flip them around, right?
Yeah. Which has been around football for, and especially with the changes of not being able to hit. Like they used to, and I'm not saying for or against that, but this has become probably more prevalent because of the way that you have to tackle, right? You can't do those big hits anymore. But what bothers me is how many people really get hurt from that a year, right? Like a serious injury.
Well, they'll never give the full stats. They'll just say statistically it's been bad. It's like no, it hasn't.
No, it hasn't.
Just like the horse collar. The only reason they actually got rid of the horse collar was because that one year when Terrell Owens got pulled from behind by a horse collar down and broke his ankle.
Yeah.
That was it.
And the thing is, it's ridiculous that they want to make it so that there's no risk of injury. Like, they don't want – they kind of swing it so far over that they're trying to make it so safe and make sure a star player doesn't get hurt that you forget that any sport – I mean, look, baseball's what it is, but they get hurt all the time as well.
Yeah,
when you're doing an athletic competition like that, you're going to get hurt. And again, I would say, like, you know, the head stuff, that stuff I'm totally on board with. I'm not saying no against that. But some of the stuff that they want to ban is just that one is crazy to me.
So let me ask you this. I know you probably only pay attention to about three of the professional leagues. You're not a hockey guy. So
no, I wish I was a. I really
That's
wish
fine.
I was.
That's for a different discussion. You're not, okay? You're just not a hockey
I know,
guy.
I know. Same thing with soccer. Shut up.
You wish you were. Why? Why do you wish you were?
Because I actually do enjoy it. But the thing is, I can't get into a sport unless I fully understand the strategy, not just the rules, the strategy of the game. You know what I mean? Like, why do they do certain things? and I'm just too lazy right now to learn it all.
Too lazy, like now. Like I say, now.
No. Before, I just didn't have the time to dedicate to another sport.
Sure, yeah.
Football on Sundays take up, right? Football on Sundays take up. Yeah. Right. And so I didn't, I would have, you know, I couldn't put my wife through. It's bad enough how I am during the NFL season, right? But to do it all year round with, oh, that sport's over. Let me go on to the next one. But yeah, I've always felt that the reason why I can't get into, I can definitely appreciate the skill, but getting into it, I don't understand some of the strategy. Like soccer, you know, I mean, I do get it. I don't fully understand the not just why they're doing it, but like the strategy behind doing it. You know what I mean? Like how soccer always does the thing where they kind of backtrack. Like they always give up ground and everything. And it's like, but knowing why they're doing it a certain way is the thing that I don't understand. You know, in the different scenarios.
Yeah, no, I get it. So, okay.
Anyway, so I sidetracked.
So you wish you were a hockey guy. Got it. That's true. I get what you're saying as far as if you don't understand.
Because it's incredible live. Okay, I'll say this. Even as somebody doesn't fully understand it, hockey is probably the funnest one to watch live.
Oh, without a doubt.
I think that was one thing. Hockey is incredible to watch live. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I mean, I know, you know, what a score is, and I know what a fight is. That's about it. But it was it was incredible to watch live.
Yeah, well, it's changed quite a bit. Well, so that was going to be my question. It was not hockey. I was going to say, of the three major sports you kind of follow, baseball, basketball, and football. And I know football is your primary. Basketball, kind of. And same with baseball. I'd say baseball. Anyway, since about, you know, considering what we saw in the 80s, and we were just talking about all the rule changes, which sport of those three do you think has changed the rule so dramatically to where
that's a good question.
Player safety, but which of the three do you think has dramatically changed their rules to where it's no longer really a competition as much as it's more about, you know, can we just get scores? I mean, I know plenty of people out there always say, oh, well, you want to see scoring. You don't want to see anything else. But how much of it has changed? Like, obviously, for myself, football, you know, American football, the whole point is that the rules back in the 80s compared to the rules today. Totally different. Or even the
90s. I mean, let's not just say the 80s. Let's just say let's just say through the life cycle that we've seen, which is somewhat like we know about the 70s. We really didn't know what the fuck was going on because we were 8 years old when the 70s.
Oh, yeah, not until late 70s, if even that. Yeah, I agree.
Right, but let's just say that we know about the 70s, kind of like how kids today might know about the 90s, right?
Right.
Good thing. So let's just say through the whole progression, because the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and the 10s, you've seen this progression, right? That's a good question. But I would say, like, basketball is a major one, though. I think, I mean, baseball, you know, getting change out of them is like pulling teeth.
It is. They've only really made any substantial change probably in the last 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, they've done some of those rule changes, like the pitch clock. The one that I didn't know about until I saw some stuff this year for baseball was, like, they can't block the bag at all.
Right.
I didn't hear about that until I actually saw it happen in a game. And it's, to me, that one's crazy. I think some of these rule changes, I mean, not to deviate, but it you have these guys that have been playing these sports for their whole life. I mean, literally since probably 5 years old. Like, right, as soon as they could do something somewhat athletically, even sometimes even not that way, they've been doing it. And they've been like those guys who a shortstop who covers second, that's muscle memory. How he puts his foot on the bag and how he does that, that's just, he doesn't do it. He doesn't think about it. And then, you know, now they're going to have to do this thing where it's going to bring down the quality of baseball. And I think that's, like, when you see some of these rule changes that happen, I think a lot of times we rebel against it. Like, for me, the NBA, I was just talking to my youngest son about this because I was watching some of the Denver highlights recently. And have you seen how the Mavs have been playing? They're fucking fun to watch. Like, Luka, you've been seeing passes from him, like his highlights have been passes the last few weeks, not his shots or whatever. It's been these passes. Like there was
more of a distributor and trying to be more. You know, he's been doing doubles a few times now.
And Kyrie's just been fucking going crazy, right? That the shot that he took, the game winner, where he did this left-handed skyhook from the fucking top of the key that he's never practiced that, but why did it look like he's done it a million times?
He may have. You'd be surprised, actually, to that
true.
Point.
Right? No, it's true, but I'm just saying.
Shot, but whenever you practice all
your teams. Practice fucking horse. Then you when just you're playing horse, you might do a shot like that.
Well, yeah, but even in NBA games, yeah. I mean, there's some awkward shots. They take something like, dude, that's not natural. And it's not, but interestingly enough, people practice those.
But watching some of the stuff, like there's that one that happened a few days ago where Luka stole the ball, did it. He kind of tossed it over his shoulder to Kyrie, who goes down and does a toss behind him for an alley-oop.
Yep.
I think the one thing that has happened with sports and NFL is that for their desire to reach a broader audience, you know, they've changed the rules to make it more appealing to everybody.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? I mean, I think
So there's rule changes that benefit viewership to your point. Like the fact that, I mean, calling all these penalties on, offense. I mean, calling all these penalties on defense actually slows the game down, which the average person will be like, God, this is fucking slow. Mm-hmm. Like on average, a game takes total TV time, commercials, everything in play goes about, 3 hours, right? On average, 3 hours.
Right.
Usually about 10 a.m. to about 1 p.m. or for Pacific time, by the way. But if you cut all that shit out and you just do execution of plays themselves when they get to line and run.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean it's such a long-ass game because it takes them so long to call plays. And the refs take forever. I understand they want scoring up. And they feel, people want to see scoring. And that's true. The fun part is to see scores. But at the same time, I'm not asking for them to make like a 10-3 game. Like those, I understand those
are great games. I'm sorry. I may be the minority.
No, you're not. You're the traditionalist. The diehard football fan is fine with that.
Well, see, I think that's one of the conversations or arguments that happen. It's not because I'm a traditionalist. It's because it's because I enjoy defenses as much as I do offense. Look, as the two viewers know, I'm a Browns fan.
Good call out.
But
maybe there's more, dude.
The worst part is about being a Browns fan is having two great fucking having two great teams, you know, we have to play against. It's not like, you know, the Jets and the Bills and everybody getting beat up by the Patriots every year. One week we're getting destroyed by the Steelers, the next week by the Ravens, right? And those teams, period, are known for what? Defenses. I mean, the Steelers and the Ravens, that's what they're known for.
True.
You know, when you look at some of the on the Steelers, you know, you have Roethlisberger, but I mean, and even though he is a Hall of Fame quarterback, it was the defenses that always stood out. The players that they had, like playing against the Ravens every year, the player that scares the shit out of me every year was Ed Reed. He's probably he's one of the. I always say the Mount Rushmore. I never say that there's a GOAT, but he's on my Mount Rushmore defensive players, like with LT, with Reggie White, and with Aaron Donald. He's fucking because he was
no the Ronnie Lott. Huh? No Ronnie Lott.
No.
Really? See, this is where
it's Mount Rushmore. Who are you going to take off? Who are you going to take off? Who are you going to take off?
Ed Reed. I'd put Lott over Ed Reed every day.
Every day.
But that's my point. So before we get into this debate, let me just tell you this.
I'm a 49er fan. You know I love Lott. I mean, he's on the Mount Rushmore of safeties. But
unstoppable. Unfucking stoppable. He was a converted cornerback and became a safety. That's why he's better.
Ed Reed took away the whole fucking secondary.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he fucking did. Like fucking
offer. You can't base it on your shitty Browns playing the Raiders.
No. Fine. Then I'll take
Ed Reed's a great
Peyton Manning. I'll take his fucking word, him saying that Ed Reed was
Peyton Manning doesn't know shit.
Oh, you right. That's right. Maybe you always know more than fucking NFL experts, you know, who actually did it. That's right. I fucking forget about that all the time.
Seriously, related to this, because
okay, fine. Right, go ahead.
Your decision is fine. I'm with you. You know, your Mount Rushmore is your Mount Rushmore,
right?
And everybody has a different one. My thing is, you can't compare generations.
Well, that part I do agree with.
The problem I have, like, with Brady is the GOAT. Is he though? I mean, two Super Bowls. No, he should have lost.
I don't believe in that.
Two Super Bowls, should have lost. And I think he's a great. But he was longevity. It was length of time. He had a great team. Don't get me wrong. The Patriots had a dynasty. You play that long, that dominant for that long, that's a dynasty, you know, and so that's true. And he was part of that dynasty. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Would I say he's the greatest? If I wanted to have a last minute quarterback run to take us in a Super Bowl and win it for us, does Brady come to mind? No, maybe because recency bias, but does he really come to mind? Like, there's other quarterbacks that have done that without ever throwing picks, without, you know. And sure, I'm alluding to Montana in some degree.
You think? No, that's who you're alluding to. Fuck you. Just say it.
I am Montana.
But Brady will also say Montana is.
In fairness to Brady, yeah. Again, different generations, different rule sets. Everything was different.
Right.
So I hate that comparison of the Mount Rushmore or the GOAT because you can't compare. Like
I totally agree.
Their generation, the greatest of their generation, you can say the greatest of their generation, then yes. They didn't play each other. There's no real comparison. They didn't play under the same rules and guidelines. So okay. My Mount Rushmore will be different than yours, right? From a defense.
That's true, because it's a bias. It's a personal bias to the type of player you like.
And
part of the reason why Ed Reed is probably on, and I agree with you, is every fucking game, it was like he was the guy that you went like, okay, like something good's happening, and he would do something, and you're like, fuck, I hate him. It was like you
could have said bias to you though in the sense
there is. But I mean that's why he's gonna be on my yeah. But what I dislike is the Ronnie Lott couldn't play in today's game.
Because of the rules, because of whatever.
Whatever, right. But people will say that. Or
I always laugh at that comment, by the way.
Or you LeBron what? Why? What's
the reason why I laugh at that comment in general, and it's true for both. Is that they say, oh, men from the 80s couldn't play in today's game. No, they could, because what you have today, all the like camps and all the programs and everything you have, they would have the same access to that today, they would still be able to play.
See, one of the examples that I always use is when you hear Kobe talking about MJ, one of the things that he said is that there is no Kobe without Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look,
he emulated his game after
him. I mean, when you see some of those clips where he did exactly the same move, I mean, like if they would have done, you know how when they do the jersey swap, if they did the jersey swap and put Jordan's uniform on Kobe, you would, and you didn't see his face, of course, but you don't want to say all black guys look alike because they don't, but
okay.
Without. What Jordan did, but then when you go backwards, without a Dr. J, there would have been no Michael Jordan. Right?
True.
I'm just saying in general.
That type of player. Totally agree.
Because MJ emulated him.
Yeah, that was his favorite player. Yeah.
Because one thing that I hate about the whole, oh, they're so skilled now, where do you think those skills came from? Who do you think created that? Like AI.
But let's be clear too, specifically with the NBA in this case.
Specifically, the NFL
is different. I'm talking about the rule standpoint. Their skill is based on the fact that the NBA no longer calls shit. I mean, these boys are traveling and carrying the ball all over the fucking place, and the refs call nothing. So it's like, is that really skill? Because that's where then it becomes, again, though, if you took someone from the 80s and they had to play in today's game, they'd do the same thing. Why wouldn't they? I mean, the rules account for that.
Yeah.
So,
you can't,
emulate others. I mean, you have a favorite when you grow up, you're going to emulate them more than likely.
Well, I always say people will look at somebody like a Larry Bird right? Oh, look how skinny he was. I'm sorry. If you took a Wilt Chamberlain, right, who from all accounts of people who are unbiased, like Schwarzenegger saying how insanely strong Wilt Chamberlain was. Take Wilt Chamberlain as a 14-year-old from back then, you know, take 1958, whatever, however old he would have been, you know, when he, but that year, take that kid, bring him here, put him in the AAU, put him in with today's nutrition, with all the camps, all the skill practice, all those things that they, that all these skills and these things that they practice, like that 10-year-olds are practicing today, that was invented in the 80s and in the 90s for them to actually learn.
Right.
Give that to a Wilt Chamberlain for 10 years. Give him LeBron's training regimen, his nutrition, his recovery. I mean, we talk about LeBron, and one of the things, and I'll give him total credit, the fact that how many minutes he's played is phenomenal. It's unreal, like his longevity.
Yeah. But I mean, also just based on longevity, it's going to be one of the great, it's definitely one of the greatest of all time. That's a fact. He's done much in 20-year span, but do I consider him the greatest of all time? No.
No, but the point I'm getting is Gale Sayers only played like 6 years. Why? Because of a knee injury that today somebody would recover from and be back on the court in 10 fucking months like it never happened.
Yeah.
It would end careers. So how many of those players that we know are great are only great because they didn't have that injury? Well, I mean, think about it.
Again, it's Adrian different. Peter,
all these guys had a lot of these Hall of Famers that we see today, or even just all pros. Let's just say the all pros, the great players that we see right now, had injuries in college that should have ended their career back just 20 years ago.
Right.
You know, I think there's so many factors. But to your point, I think the rule changes, the game changes. You know, how what people want to see. This is a philosophy, and I mean, it's also. Like, does philosophy change purely because of the rule changes, right? But I think all those changes make it impossible. And also, it's like you can't compare generations. I think it's just
I get things evolve, right? There's evolution, games evolve, rules evolve, players evolve. To your point, right? Like, nutrition, all those factors you've learned over the decades are applied more today than they were back then. That wasn't a concern. Yeah. Guys were drinking and smoking left and right, right? Like, was that good for the body? No, but they played with it. And to your point,
look, I played well. Like, yeah, you don't think you could have played better without it? Dumbass.
Some things that you can't, that players can just, that make them dominate, you know, in a generation or whatever you want to call it, is the mindset, the killer instinct, right? MJ had the killer mindset. Like, he didn't give a shit who you were. He made you feel like you were shit and went out and proved it. Yeah. Kobe had that same mentality. There's other great players. Larry Bird was one of the greatest shit talkers and hardest people to play against. You brought up Larry Bird. That's one of the biggest stories you ever hear from all the greats. It's like this boy, you know, they looked at him as a white guy.
He wasn't a shit talker. He was just an asshole.
Yeah.
He was just that type of guy. Just like.
But he backed it up. He backed it up. He had the back issues that limited his career. He could have played years on in today's game. But that
again, because today's players are so much better. It's because medicine is improved.
Medicine, exactly. The medicine and everything is so much improved in the process of how they handle players. But keep in mind, all those players played 82 games a season. Like, they didn't need to take rest days.
Is that more they didn't need to, or it was mentality and philosophy? Now they do that because they only care about...
The killer instinct. I mean, look at the All-Star games. Perfect example, right? Well, for the NFL, they just gave up because no one was trying. And so they moved on. They
never really tried it in NFL.
Yeah, they did back in the 80s.
I mean, what I mean is they never, I guess, comparing it to the NBA All-Star game, right?
The NBA All-Star game used to be competitive.
Was that? Oh, the NBA one, yeah. That was like streetball.
And when
that was Kobe a lot of one-on-one.
When Kobe was there. I remember he blocked LeBron's shot, and LeBron just figuring it's an All-Star game. And again, the only reason I bring up LeBron is because he's the big name at the time, and Kobe had the different mindset. But that generation going forward is more about, we don't want to get hurt, which is why they take days off. So they get paid hundreds of millions of dollars, play a kid's game. All they're asked to do is play 82 games out of a year, 82 days out of a year, to show up and work. And yeah, they have practices. I get that. But to show up and work, and they only show up 65 times because they just need a rest day.
I think athletes have forgotten that they're an entertainment product. I really think that they
also are looking for themselves to they're already looking for outside business prospects for themselves too.
Oh yeah. But right? Also I think lately more than anything in the last if you look at MLB is the only one that really has this history, like 100-year history, right? Like true. You look back where, world, yeah. Right? I mean, there's no comparison in terms of tradition. I mean, when you think of the NFL, that's really the 60s. I mean, right. When you look prior to that, it's hard to really, you know, and it's not taken away. You know, some people will be like, "Oh no," I understand it's the history of it, but when you really think of football hitting its stride, it's when you start seeing the. And unfortunately, as a Browns fan, it's the Super Bowl era, right? That's when you really started seeing it pick up. NBA definitely was 80s. I mean, not take anything away from the Will Chamberlains and all that, but when you think of modern NBA or like the NBA, you think of the start of it as Celtics, Lakers, right?
Oh, Magic Bird. They both came out of college and carried it into the NBA.
And that's where you, like, and maybe it's, I mean, and I'm not saying it's our age because, again, I don't remember that. I wasn't alive during the 60s and I don't remember the 70s, but for me, it's the 60s. But baseball, if you see footage from the fucking 40s, you're like, that's baseball.
Yeah.
Like, you almost can think that any of those batters, you could take a batter from the 50s, put him in today's game, and they'd have to adjust to it, but they could still hit. You know what I mean? Yep. It's just a major difference between them, but. I don't know. I mean, I just think that a lot of what we see today and like when you see like all-star games and that effort, you just see that everybody now it has an emphasis on championships. I think when you right. see the whole LeBron comparison with MJ or the Brady, it's always how many titles do they have?
Well, that and so it's funny because to your point, they bring that up and then specifically with LeBron. Right, because there's so many people who want to say LeBron's the greatest of all time. And I hate that one, primarily because I also think that the greatest of all time can't really exist because you can't compare generations. Rules were different. Everything was different. So it's a comment that sports commentators love to throw out there because they got nothing else to talk about. So they throw it out there. People are emotional. Very emotional. Look at you and I. I said Ronnie a lot, and you got pissed because I was taking Ed Reed off. But the point is,
I thought
you got loud. You got fucking loud. You were threatening.
When do I not get loud? I was going to drive out there just to fucking yell at you.
I was afraid you're going to jump right through the mic and get me. But no, the point is, it's like there's no they know it can't be proven otherwise. They want to assign someone as the greatest of all time, which makes no sense. It's like you just can't. Like I said, I look at it from a generational standpoint, and maybe I'm on the. Minority side of these things, but I think it's the more realistic approach. Like generationally, I would say Montana was the greatest of his generation. Easy. Unitas was the greatest of his generation. Easy. You know, Brady's definitely the greatest of his generation. If Mahomes plays 20 years, he'll be the greatest of his generation, right?
Because he's already there, basically. If he just continues going. But yeah.
But each one adapts differently to the rules of the game. Like the rules of the game have made it easier for offenses to succeed, which means quarterbacks are just going to look better. It is what it is. And then for basketball, it's the same concept. Basketball, there isn't a lot. The deviation is more about the skill, but I question if the skill in the game today is actually better than it was back in the 80s because the rules have become so lazy.
Loose. Yeah.
Well, loose. I consider it straight up fucking lazy. I mean, these guys don't even know. This is why European players come over and do so well because they're trained on fundamentals.
Yeah.
Look at Jokic. I mean, that guy's like, doesn't even look athletically gifted. He's actually a proven point that anybody from the 80s could probably dominate in the today.
And I agree with that argument. I mean, or that, I don't want to say argument, but that viewpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to say, look at those guys. Look how slow they were. You say the same thing about Jokic, but he's how many times is he an MVP?
Yeah. Exactly.
Same thing about Luka. And I hate that they're the two examples. I got to find a black guy that's a good example of that. But
okay,
you know what I mean. It's sure. True though. It's like, I mean, fine. Well,
Wembanyama, young rookie from France.
He looks awkward as fuck.
He's 7 foot what, six, and he looks awkward and slow. But you know, he's figuring how to play. He's got good skill.
But he's also fundamentals. Well, it was like always the thing of Tim Duncan is never on anybody's list. People will say that there are players that were better than him, and you're like, who in the fuck was better than Tim Duncan at his position?
Shaq. Well, okay, so what's the position?
It depends if you're saying forward or center, right?
Okay, so if they put Tim Duncan as a power forward, then correct. It's hard to find anyone better than him. Karl Malone's about the first name that comes to mind that's at least comparable.
Right.
Yeah, Duncan is definitely there. And you're right, Duncan, I think, always put him as a power forward, not a center, because you got David Robinson as the center for his first five seasons.
That's probably why I always think of him as a forward, not as a center.
Which is fair. He's not really. He wasn't here. He didn't play under the center position as much with Popovich.
Right. But the point is that you look at him and people will not give him credit because of the visual eye test. He doesn't look impressive.
Right.
You know, he didn't do these things. But when you hear stories from players who played against him, you're like, it's like, damn. And that's the one thing that I will never understand. Every player in the NBA, I mean, not every player, but like the last time they took a poll, 75% of players in the NBA, or approximately that range, said that Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Actual players in the NBA, people who, look, people say, oh, I live and breathe the NBA. These guys are in the NBA. They can watch a guy and they know things that they can do or what they're doing that 99% of fans will totally miss. And I'm sorry, but I'll take an NBA player saying who the best player of all time is over us, just to be honest.
Yeah.
And if they say it, but again, I think that they also notice that it's generational. You can't say, oh, Jordan couldn't play in today's game. He didn't practice a three. It wasn't valued as highly in the NBA back then. So if you don't practice, I mean, it's stupid to say, like, well, he didn't shoot any threes. Nobody in the NBA was.
Right.
Even the three-point shooters back then, you know, they didn't really shoot at anywhere near the rate. Think about if people want to say, like, Curry. Could Curry have played in the 80s or 90s? I say absolutely not. Because nobody would have gave him a chance to shine. No coach would have let him shoot 10 threes a game.
But there's no reason that would have been his game. I mean, so his best comparison for Curry is his father, Dell,
right,
who played in the NBA. Because he was a shooter, right? And he was 90s type player.
Right.
Late 80s, 90s type player. And you're right. Curry's, you know, is a better shooter than his father. But Dell played quite a bit, and he did well. To your point, like, if that the focus of the game was more inside, it was never more about shooting from the outside often.
Right.
And would Curry have been as successful? Not if you take his game today and assume it would just be all hunky-dory and go ahead in the 80s, because that's not how they played. That's just not how they played.
It wouldn't have been accepted by any coach.
But could his
skill, say, a coach would have shot it down. But also then if you added
Except Don Nelson. There are a couple coaches in the 80s.
I agree that he's the warrior.
Don Nelson would have been fine with that, yeah.
An irony that is a Warriors coach, too.
Yep.
Well, mainly a Warriors coach.
He was a Bucks coach for a while first.
Yeah. But when we remember it was Warriors.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
There would be a small, very small set of coaches who would allow that, who would be interested to try it, like give it a go and see how it works, versus today where every coach expects it. And it's even worse because now – you got big guys taking threes who shouldn't be taking threes. It's like, dude, get down on the post, take that small guard off you, and just put it up. And they don't. So, except Jokic. Jokic, again, is a more traditional
player. Intelligence on the floor is what it is. Right?
Yeah. His intelligence understands the game. You know, and there are certain players who have a great, court awareness. LeBron's definitely one. Yeah. So Draymond Green is another that comes to mind who's got a great court awareness and understands the game really well. Jokic, obviously, as well. I will say this about Luka because you brought him up earlier. Luka can definitely play, and he's a good example of the type of players in the 90s who could probably play today because they would mold well with what he does.
Right.
But only problem I have with Luka, and he's young, so I'm hoping someday he'll get past this, but he hasn't to date, is his constant bitching and whining. Like, more so that he takes himself out of the play on the defensive side. So he is one of the worst defensive players on the court.
It's like a LeBron thing. It's like the argument people have against LeBron when he does this whole thing and he never goes back on defense.
But LeBron's athleticism made up for that. He was much more athletic than Luka is.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
LeBron's defense isn't the greatest. But yeah, but I mean, and LeBron whines. Yeah, I agree with you. That was the biggest complaint, was he always whines. And he still sometimes will fake like he got tossed a mile in the air for a big guy. That's how it is.
When he gets a little tap on his head and he acts like...
He gotta be
I think it's funny. It's funny because he does this and it's like, is my fake hair still on? Is my implant still in place? You know what? Okay, wait, I'm going to say this because I had to bring it up because I just saw him doing it recently where I thought he got hit on the head it was a few days ago where he got hit on the head pretty bad. But again, he does it, but he does like this with his hair. I was like, why are you fixing your hair? Did you hurt your head or are you just mad that your hair got messed up? But come on, I have no problem. Look,
he's worried about his looks at that moment in time. That's all.
And if he got implants, I don't hate on him, but he fucking 100% did.
Yeah.
100%.
I will say this for all the
LeBron, I have no problem with that, by the way.
Yeah.
Zero.
For all the LeBron haters and all that out there. And
look, I don't hate him.
I'm not a fan of his gameplay when he wasn't with the Lakers. Obviously, I'm a Laker fan. I enjoy having him on the team, but there's points where I get irritated with him too still. But yeah, it's just a different mentality of how I played basketball and how I watched basketball and how I expect the sport to play versus how it's done today. I mean, it's like watching soccer. I mean, those guys dive all the fucking time. And it's just gotten worse over the decades.
Because of the stoppage, right? I mean, that's the reason why, part of the reason why they do it is because it's an advantage.
It can and it can't be. Yeah. Because they're going to get the ball anyway. I mean, they got fouled, but when they roll like a mile down the field, holding the wrong foot that they got tripped on and acting like that's someone that hurt. I mean, come on. At least if you're going to make it up and or over-dramatize the situation, then at least do it on the right stuff. But, like I said, I mean, when it comes to just comparing players and can they support or who's the best and who's the greatest,
it's stupid. You can't do it.
I mean, it's a great conversation. But you have to set guidelines, and nobody ever sets guidelines when they start these conversations. Like saying, okay,
no,
let's base the greatest off of X or
the goalpost or whatever they set it. Yeah.
And you can find any data you want and meld it into a way that makes it sound like you're making an accurate point. I see this all the time with people. It's like they pull data. And I'm like, yeah, well, you're totally leaving out this part. Like I could, or even stats in NFL games where they say, hey, when they're up by 20 at this point, at like 5:45 of every game, they're 55-0. It's like, okay.
But they pick and choose the stats that they...
Exactly. And that's the thing, no consistency.
Look, I always love LeBron for bringing a championship to Cleveland in my lifetime. I mean, you know that.
Fucking praise him is what you should do.
Huh?
You should praise him.
I kind of did, yeah. what did I hate the way he left the first time? Yes, I think in the end he realized that was the wrong way to approach it, and then when he left the second time, we were fine with it. I mean, it was what it was. But when it comes to these arguments, what I hate is that it's not about saying LeBron is this good versus MJ. It's let's look for a flaw in the other player, right? Let's look for a flaw in MJ. And the truth is, there is no perfect player, right? I mean, even for a Montana.
Kareem.
Probably close, but no.
That's fair. If you want to talk about the greatest
of
all
time. That's why you're a Lakers. Stop. Now you're going that route.
Have you ever noticed the greatest of all time in basketball always is a shooting guard?
Oh, yeah. Well, because it's a visual thing. It's like saying the greatest player, everybody wants to make it a quarterback.
Kareem was the greatest player. Move on.
The reason why you became a Laker fan is somebody lives in San Francisco. Yeah. You might have a little bias.
It happens all the time. People find a player they resonate with and they become lifelong fans.
Eventually, you admit to that you're biased. And see, that's the only thing I see.
I just said earlier, emotion. We have our biases.
Yeah, but you didn't say that. That's why you're saying you're. You said that in general.
Actually, I have reasons why I could say Kareem is the greatest of all time.
I know. But it's
generational, right? So I'm saying that.
No player is perfect.
You could say that,
well, a center doesn't do this or a point guard does this. Your personal philosophy on how you think the game should be played is going to shape who you think the GOAT is as well, right?
Yeah. Although, let me add one more point to why Kareem's greatest of all time. When you're in the movie Airplane, you're the greatest of all time. And fight Bruce Lee. Boom, right there.
Hey, did you fucking save the world from aliens? MJ is the greatest world from aliens. Saved the world. MJ saved the world from aliens.
No, he saved the Looney Tunes. He saved the Looney Tunes, dumbass.
Well, you know what I mean.
The world. No, I don't. I don't.
You think that the world would be a good place without Looney Tunes? Fuck you.
I don't know. I haven't seen any. They block out all the good Looney Tunes nowadays.
If they removed Looney Tunes, the world would fall into anarchy and chaos. And
that's what's happening right now because they removed Looney Tunes.
Exactly, because we're removing Looney Tunes from fucking our history and everything. The world is falling into disarray. All right,
greatest Looney Tune character, go.
Oh.
We're going to talk about the greatest. Let's talk about Looney Tunes then. What's the greatest Looney Tune character?
You could say Bugs Bunny, but that just seems so...
That's the cop-out. That's not necessarily wrong.
It feels like you're saying Superman, right? It's like when people default to Superman as their favorite superhero. It's like the safe one.
Then you have to be specific. Greatest in DC, greatest in Marvel, right?
Greatest superhero, period.
So who's your... All right, well, first, let's stick to Looney Tunes. It's not hard. What comes to your mind, first and foremost? Because that's
honestly, it's actually probably Donald Duck. I mean,
Donald definitely. Duck. That's Disney. That's fantastic.
The duck. The
Daffy Duck. Daffy Duck. And I would agree with you. I think Daffy Duck is the best, primarily because he has some of the best show cartoons of his when he's Robin Hood. That was fucking one of the best of all time.
Right.
He always did a lot of pairs with Bugs Bunny. Lines too.
Like Duck Dodgers as well.
Yeah, Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century. Yeah. Marvin the Martian.
Exactly, yeah.
But you know, you can't watch any of those original aired videos unless you have them on like a DVD or something because they cut them up. Like they're trying to be sensitive. It's like, dude, it's a cartoon. No one's going to die.
It's also time period.
It's also a point of like, I think people need to learn to like grow a tougher skin because not everything's about them and stop taking it so fucking personally. It's like the cartoon wasn't made to attack you.
Well, also the thing is, it's like, to me, it goes back to those that forget history will tend to repeat it. And I think by us, a lot of those things being censored and everything, it tries to seem like we're fighting that instead of understanding it and understanding the time period to be able to move on. And I think that I honestly think a lot of that shutting out where a lot of what we're seeing today is a repeat of history. You know, it just...
It happens happens all over history. Yeah. But then the question is that sort of term really make sense anymore?
What's
like
that?
Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. Like, are we just as a civilization doomed to always be in a cyclical period where we'll never learn and we'll never break free?
I think so. Think about it. If you, I totally agree with it, but I think that's what I don't think it's cautionary as much more as it is as a statement. That as you forget about the past, and it's like when people act like today we have it worse off today than somebody in the 80s or somebody in the 70s because they want to cherry pick things. It's like, no, it was just different. It wasn't better or worse. It's different. It's no different than sports, right?
Right.
I mean, we're really getting like deep in this one. This isn't, you know, just like
let me lighten this up a little bit more then in that case. greatest DC superhero of all time?
DC.
See, now I'm making you specifically focus on one area so you don't, like, because we've talked about greatest earlier. Let's just continue that trend here.
Hard part was I never really got deep into DC.
All right, how about favorite DC character? Maybe not the greatest, but your favorite, if you had one.
It'd the still probably be the generic Batman for DC.
Interestingly enough, to your point earlier, Superman for me.
Yeah.
That's Superman. And not only do I think he's the greatest one, obviously, because he is really, he and Batman are the two focal points that started the whole DC universe for comics and whatnot.
Yeah.
But he's just like the ideal state you'd love to be, you know, will never be achieved. But it's just something you can kind of enjoy and live through. Batman's a more realistic, like,
and you know how that's
a world where it's really fucked up, and that's kind of where it is today, right? So
it's also when you just see some of the ones, I mean, especially DC's goated when it comes to the cartoons, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you see how they portray Batman in some of those, and God, like one of the ones, I mean, it's a cartoon, but how DC's always portrayed it is on something like, there's a one, and I'm forgetting her name, but it was like a little girl who could change reality and everything, and like they're sitting on a swing. Oh my God, I'm forgetting. God, I'm blanking on who she. God, I hate being old. I swear, I don't remember names anymore. If there's the first sign of memory loss is me forgetting names like crazy. But I mean, just some of the stories that they've told with Batman has been like intense.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, like Batman's more grounded in a lot of trying to be a more sure, he's a billionaire who has all this money and can build all these things, and that's fine. But in the end, he's still just a normal guy. And he's still dealing with shit within, you know, the world of crazies. Like the Joker is not some special superhuman. He's just some crazy psychotic bastard who goes around and, you know, does things for fun.
That's why the Batman, the newest one is so good, is because it reminds me of those 90s cartoons that they did for Batman, where like the Riddler talking about like Bruce Wayne is an orphan, who is he really an orphan if he lives in a mansion? As somebody who lost his mom when he was 14, it's like he was still an orphan. All that money, obviously all that money didn't make it any better. Right?
No.
Obviously, you know.
Change. Yeah. How you feel and your emotional attachment. That doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't go away.
You're by yourself.
No amount of money in the world is going to do that. Just because he didn't have a shitty, you know, living situation doesn't change. Obviously, again, you know, he's an anti-hero in a lot of ways.
Yep.
But, you know what, kind of speaking of favorite, though, you know what I've been watching again?
What's that?
Daredevil, the Netflix series.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Since they're filming a new season. Well, not a new season. It's going to be a new series, but it's going to really be based off the old. They're going to have a lot of the original cast back.
I will say Daredevil, the series, especially the first season and first two seasons, is the best MCU TV series. I know everybody likes it. And, of course, I do have a personal bias because Daredevil's on my Mount Rushmore, you know, mainly because I'm blind. But I absolutely love Daredevil. I loved it. I've always loved his story and everything. And but no, I've been watching though, like, it is so fucking good.
Well, and to your point, like, Daredevil has always been a street level superhero.
And I love those.
And he's not a universe, you know, and that's the beauty of, you know, Marvel and others, is that they've always had sort of tiers. You have those who are out in the universe fighting universal issues, those who are fighting global issues, and those who are in the streets, like, you know, your Jessica Jones, your Daredevil, Punisher is another one, right? Hero, who's, I know he's your personal favorite of all time. I don't know that. And he's supposed to be coming back probably. Paul Bersinol is going to reprise his role.
But Jessica Jones was awesome too. Like, I'm going to watch that next. That first season was
Luke Cage. Luke Cage is a great character.
I would say that series was third. And I thought even Iron Fist had a good start. It just, Yeah.
People just didn't like the actor who played Danny Rand.
It started out good, but it just, as it went along, yeah, you cared more about the other characters than him.
Yeah. Well, you could see Iron Fist appear in Shang-Chi too, because those characters are more aligned in the comics.
And those are my favorite ones. Those are the ones that I always grab.
See, yeah, you relate to. Well, Punisher and Batman are similar in their own ways.
But yeah, I want somebody you can lose. The problem that you always kind of have with some of these superheroes, or even like how they make them out, is that there's not that hero aspect where a Punisher goes out and at any second he could die. Like, right. You know, any time that he goes into something, he could die. Same thing with Daredevil, same thing with the Jessica Jones or whoever. Right. And I think that aspect is what makes the hero part to me, which makes it more, is that them getting beat up, them losing. And nothing, I mean, the losing aspect that, I mean, the funny part is, like, you see how much Daredevil gets his ass kicked in the first series, in the first,
right.
The first season. But I mean, that to me is just, I mean, that makes it more real. You know, it just, maybe relatable, maybe like going back to the sports thing, it's like the whole Curry thing. It makes it more relatable to me.
Right. Well, yeah. And I agree with you. I mean, those street level characters are always big, and Marvel has quite a bit of them.
Yeah, it really does.
DC did, you know, you had the Arrow or Green Arrow, who was more of a street level guy. I mean, realistically, if you think about DC, you think of Justice League. When you think of Justice League, you think obviously Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. It's the big three. Mm-hmm. Aquaman's there. A Green Lantern of some kind, generally Hal Jordan, but also others.
Yeah.
And the Flash. And those are it. And then later on, they brought in Cyborg. But realistically, those are your core, like, six primaries of DC Universe, in my mind.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, there's others over, you know, previously you had others, but there's those. But whereas Marvel, like DC's more grounded, more dark in some cases in a lot of their stories, where Marvel's more colorful, I guess is the best way to put it. They also have their own dark stories. To your point, Daredevil with Kingpin. Those were always great stories. Punisher, obviously, is a darker one. It's just really this, like, I love certain stories and arcs. I love the Batman stories, Superman, of course. And from Marvel standpoint, interestingly enough, I always laugh, like, when I think about comics for Marvels, when I was collecting comics heavily, you know, Batman and Superman, loved them. And I always saw them as the guys. For the Marvel side, just X-Men. Captain America was there, and I liked Captain America, but X-Men was always the one I got most attached to, because
that's true. You were always big into X-Men. I remember that.
They were a different group, mutants. Nobody enjoyed them, or you know, the government was always trying to stop them. They were trying to help humanity, but at the same time, not get taken down.
Struggle, and I think that's a big thing for me, is the struggle. Right,
and that's what I liked. I mean, it was like different powered people who had to hide because they were hunted by their own governments. And it was just good story arcs. And then, of course, they went, you know, they could go into space, and that was always fun, but they didn't spend a lot of time out there. A lot of time it was always around local. But anyway.
But there's also like the, I don't want to say philosophical side, but that whole side of, you know, like the Civil War type thing, that the, you know, the difference between the two sides and how they fought. But, you know, he brought it up, and I just realized Green Lantern, it would probably be my favorite DC.
Oh yeah, I love
Green Lantern. I think because when you look into it, the different storylines it had, the different arcs where you had different, not only the different Green Lanterns, and Hal's my favorite, but it's just, there was also a lot of the philosophy, because you had different political viewpoints when it came to Green Lantern, and a lot of that played into it. So it just wasn't go beat the bad guy. It was infighting. It was a lot of different aspects that happened, because there's not just, yeah, he's part of the Green Lantern Corps. It's not, he's just the only Green Lantern. There's thousands, I don't know how many, come to think of it. But
you're right. I mean? They're based on sectors, and there's thousands of sectors.
Thousands of sectors. And so he's not the only one. Everybody else has the same power capability he has. So I think that when you get into some of the storylines for Green Lantern, it gets really interesting.
Yeah. So interesting. To finish this up, I love how we went from
we went all the way
into comics.
Hey, that's just because we haven't talked in a month, so yeah. we
had spread our wings a little bit here.
There you go.
But one thing I will say about comics is, as you read them through the decades, or if you go back to the ones in the decades, a lot of them, specifically on the DC and Marvel, not so much the fantasy like Star Wars and whatnot, because those are really just stories out there. But the ones that were based on, built during the time, like Superman in the 40s or 50s, Captain America in the 40s, Batman somewhere. They're based on, a lot of it is driven by what political things and society, what society is like at that time.
Definitely.
And so you could use that literally and kind of get a sense of how things progressed over time.
Look like too.
Yeah. Which last thing I want to bring up is, so to that point, I recently had found one of my, old records that I had as a kid where it was Wonder Woman. It was a Wonder Woman story. It was an open up comic while the story played and you followed along, right?
Nice.
And it's just some funny shit because it's in the 70s. So they're talking they're talking about Nazis. It's real campy. They talk about she's going to use love and power. He's going to use hate and evil against her. She was going against Ares, the god of war. And Ares decides to pull Hitler out to help support him. And she's like, you have Hitler. So again, these are
period
time pieces. It's just funny. And I let the kids hear and they just all were just laughing.
That's the crazy part. How black and white it used to be.
Yeah.
You don't really think about it at the time because, again, that was what we knew.
Yeah.
But it was always good versus evil, period. It wasn't Thanos where it was like, well, he has a good point. He's not wrong.
Yeah.
But he's not right.
Right. He's not wrong. And it may be the best way to achieve the goal because you'll never get anybody to ever come up with a plan that'll do it.
Right.
But it's still wrong.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's why the What If series was funny.
They
did that one episode with him. He's like,
the one with Vision. That one kills me. He goes,
and the one where Black Panther becomes Star-Lord. He had talked Thanos out of going crazy, and so Thanos was more like, a friend. So
yeah.
Anyway, sweet. This was good catching up.
It was definitely good.
I hope everybody.
We didn't talk about free agency and the off season, but.
It's fine.
We didn't at all. But maybe next week.
Nobody cares.
Maybe I'll have me catch up on the draft because I haven't followed college football in a while. So
hey, it's March Madness. Next week we should catch up to talk about all the upsets because we already saw Kentucky lose. So
great. Now that if we have two things to talk about, we're gonna go off on a tangent again.
Yeah, we will.
We'll talk about badminton or something.
Pickleball. Be more specific. Pickleball.
That's actually becoming really big, but yeah.
I know.
We'll talk about it.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for those who are listening. Enjoy this episode. Yep. Pass us, send word of mouth to people. Let them know about the show. And if you like it, just follow along as always.
Yep.
All right. Thanks. Take care. Good luck, Glenn.
For what?
I don't know. Goodbye.